First Kings 22. Now 3 years passed without war between Aram and Israel. In the third year, Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. Now the king of Israel said to his servants, "Are you aware that Ramoth-Gilead belongs to us? Yet we are hesitant to take it out of the hand of the king of Aram?" So he said to Jehoshaphat, "Will you go to battle with me at Ramoth-Gilead?" And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Consider me yours, my people yours, and my horses yours." However, Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, "Please request the word of the Lord first." So the king of Israel assembled the prophets, about 400 men, and said to them, "Should I go to battle against Ramoth-Gilead, or should I refrain?" And they said, "Go up, for the Lord will hand it over to the king." But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there no longer a prophet of the Lord here, that we may inquire of him?" And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "There is still one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, because he does not prophesy anything good regarding me, but only bad. He is Micaiah, the son of Imlah." But Jehoshaphat said, "May the king not say so." Then the king of Israel summoned an officer and said, "Bring Micaiah, son of Imlah, quickly." Now the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, were sitting, each on his throne, dressed in their robes, at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets were prophesying before them. Then Zedekiah, the son of Shinana, made horns of iron for himself and said, "This is what the Lord says. With these you will gore the Arameans until they are destroyed." All the prophets were prophesying this as well, saying, "Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and succeed, for the Lord will hand it over to the king." Then the messenger who went to summon Micaiah spoke to him, saying, "Behold now, the words of the prophets are unanimously favorable to the king. Please let your word be like the word of one of them, and speak favorably." But Micaiah said, "As the Lord lives, whatever the Lord says to me, I shall speak it." When he came to the king said to him, "Micaiah, should we go to battle against Ramoth-Gilead, or should we refrain?" And he said, "Go up and succeed, for the Lord will hand it over to the king." Then the king said to him, "How many times must I make you swear that you will tell me nothing but the truth in the name of the Lord?" So he said, "I saw Israel scattered on the mountains, like sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, 'These people have no master. Each of them is to return to his house in peace.'" Then the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, "Did I not tell you that he would not prophesy anything good regarding me, but only bad?" And Micaiah said, "Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, and all the angels of heaven standing by him on his right and on his left. And the Lord said, 'Who will entice Ahab to go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead?' And one spirit said this, while another said that. Then a spirit came forward and stood before the Lord, and said, 'I will entice him.' And the Lord said to him, 'How?' And he said, 'I will go out and be a deceiving spirit in the mouths of all his prophets.' Then he said, 'You shall entice him, and you will also prevail. Go and do so.' Now then, behold, the Lord has put a deceiving spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you." Then Zedekiah, the son of Shenana, approached and struck Micaiah on the cheek, and he said, "How did the spirit of the Lord pass from me to speak to you?" And Micaiah said, "Behold, you are going to see how, on that day when you go from one inner room to another, trying to hide yourself." Then the king of Israel said, "Take Micaiah and return him to Ammon, the governor of the city, and Joash, the king's son, and say, 'This is what the king says: put this man in prison, and feed him enough bread and water to survive until I return safely.'" But Micaiah said, If you actually return safely, the Lord has not spoken by me. And he said, Listen, all you people. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went up against Ramoth-Gilead, and the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, I will disguise myself and go into the battle, but you put on your robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself and went into the battle. Now the king of Aram had commanded the 32 commanders of his chariots, saying, Do not fight with small or great, but only with the king of Israel. So when the commanders of the chariots saw Jehoshaphat, they said, Surely he is the king of Israel. And they turned aside to fight against him. And Jehoshaphat cried out. Then when the commanders of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel, they turned back from pursuing him. Now one man drew his bow at random and struck the king of Israel in a joint of the armor. So he said to the driver of his chariot, Turn around and take me out of the battle, for I am severely wounded. The battle raged on that day, and the king was propped up in his chariot in front of the Arameans, and he died at evening. And the blood from the wound ran into the bottom of the chariot. Then the word passed throughout the army close to sunset, saying, Every man to his city, and every man to his country. So the king died and was brought to Samaria, and they buried the king in Samaria. They washed out the chariot by the pool of Samaria, and the dogs licked up his blood. It was there that the prostitutes bathed themselves, in accordance with the word of the Lord which he had spoken. Now as for the rest of the acts of Ahab and everything that he did, and the ivory house which he built and all the cities which he built, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? So Ahab lay down with his fathers, and his son Ahaziah became king in his place. Now Jehoshaphat, the son of Asa, became king over Judah in the fourth year of Ahab, king of Israel. Jehoshaphat was 35 years old when he became king, and he reigned for 25 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhi. He walked entirely in the way of his father Asa. He did not turn aside from it, doing what was right in the sight of the Lord. However, the high places were not taken away, and the people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. Jehoshaphat also made peace with the king of Israel. Now as for the rest of the acts of Jehoshaphat, and his might which he showed, and how he made war, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? And the remnant of the cult prostitutes who remained in the days of his father Asa he eliminated from the land. Now there was no king in Edom. A governor served as king. Jehoshaphat built ships of Tarshish to go to Ophir for gold, but they did not go, because the ships were destroyed at Ezion-Geber. Then Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, said to Jehoshaphat, Let my servants go with your servants in the ships. But Jehoshaphat was not willing. And Jehoshaphat lay down with his fathers, and was buried with his fathers in the city of his father David. And his son Jehoram became king in his place. Ahaziah, the son of Ahab, became king over Israel in Samaria in the 17th year of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. And he reigned over Israel for 2 years. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the way of his father, and in the way of his mother, and in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who misled Israel into sin. So he served Baal, and worshipped him, and provoked the Lord God of Israel to anger, according to all that his father had done. John 10. Truly, truly, I say to you, the one who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But the one who enters by the door is a shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep listen to his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he puts all his own sheep outside, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. However, a stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him, because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus told them this figure of speech, but they did not understand what the things which he was saying to them meant. So Jesus said to them again, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All those who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came so that they would have life, and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. He who is a hired hand, and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming, and leaves the sheep, and flees. And the wolf snatches them, and scatters the flock. He flees because he is a hired hand, and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, so that I may take it back. No one has taken it away from me, but I lay it down on my own. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it back. This commandment I received from my Father." Dissension occurred again among the Jews because of these words. Many of them were saying, "He has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him?" Others were saying, "These are not the words of one who is demon-possessed. A demon cannot open the eyes of those who are blind, can it?" At that time, the Feast of Dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple area, in the portico of Solomon. The Jews then surrounded him, and began saying to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify of me, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." The Jews picked up stones again to stone him. Jesus replied to them, "I showed you many good works from the Father. For which of them are you stoning me?" The Jews answered him, "We are not stoning you for a good work, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself out to be God." Jesus answered them, "Has it not been written in the law, 'I said, you are gods'? If he called them gods, to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be nullified, are you saying of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming, because I said, I am the Son of God'? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, so that you may know and understand that the Father is in me, and I in the Father." Therefore, they were seeking again to arrest him, and he eluded their grasp. And he went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was first baptizing, and he stayed there. Many came to him, and were saying, "While John performed no sign, yet everything John said about this man was true." And many believed him there. Revelation 11. "Then there was given to me a measuring rod like a staff, and someone said, 'Get up and measure the temple of God and the altar, and those who worship in it. Leave out the courtyard, which is outside the temple, and do not measure it, because it has been given to the nations, and they will trample the holy city for 42 months. And I will grant authority to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy for 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm them, fire flows out of their mouths and devours their enemies. And so, if anyone wants to harm them, he must be killed in this way. These have the power to shut up the sky, so that the rain will not fall during the days of their prophesying, and they have power over the waters to turn them into blood, and to strike the earth with every plague, as often as they desire. When they have finished their testimony, the beast that comes up out of the abyss will make war with them, and overcome them and kill them, and their dead bodies will lie on the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. Those from the peoples, tribes, languages, and nations will look at their dead bodies for 3.5 days, and will not allow their dead bodies to be laid in a tomb. And those who live on the earth will rejoice over them and celebrate, and they will send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented those who live on the earth. And after 3.5 days, the breath of life from God came into them, and they stood on their feet. And great fear fell upon those who were watching them. And they heard a loud voice from heaven, saying to them, "Come up here." And they went up into heaven in the cloud, and their enemies watched them. And at that time there was a great earthquake, and 1/10 of the city fell. 7,000 people were killed in the earthquake, and the rest were terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe has passed. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven, saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshipped God, saying, "We give you thanks, Lord God, the Almighty, the one who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. And the nations were enraged, and your wrath came, and the time came for the dead to be judged, and the time to reward your bondservants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth." And the temple of God, which is in heaven, was opened, and the ark of his covenant appeared in his temple. And there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder, and an earthquake and a great hailstorm. Proverbs 28:1-9. The wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Due to a wrongdoing of a land, its leaders are many, but by a person of understanding and knowledge, so it endures. A poor man who oppresses the helpless is like a driving rain which leaves no food. Those who abandon the law praise the wicked, but those who keep the law strive against them. Evil people do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand everything. Better is a poor person who walks in his integrity than a person who is crooked, though he is rich. He who keeps the law is a discerning son, but he who is a companion of gluttons humiliates his father. One who increases his wealth by interest of any kind collects it for one who is gracious to the poor. One who turns his ear away from listening to the law, even his prayer is an abomination. Psalm 139. Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I get up. You understand my thought from far away. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, Lord, you know it all. You have encircled me behind and in front, and placed your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot comprehend it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take up the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your hand will take hold of me. If I say, surely the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night. Even darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. For you created my innermost parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, because I am awesomely and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you. When I was made in secret, and skillfully formed in the depths of the earth, your eyes have seen my formless substance, and in your book were written all the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts for me, God! How vast is the sum of them! Were I to count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you would put the wicked to death, God! Leave me, you men of bloodshed, for they speak against you wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with the utmost hatred. They have become my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Put me to the test, and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there is any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way.